It's Maryland Morning with Sheila Cast. I'm Tom Hall. If you celebrated yesterday, I hope you had a great Christmas. The Loch Raven Reservoir is the largest of the three area watersheds that supply more than 400 million gallons of water every day to residents of Baltimore City and Baltimore County. It's also the inspiration for a collection of poems. Ann Kolakowski is a poet who lived for a long time in Baltimore County. She now lives in Montgomery County, and it appears that her grandmother, who died in 2006, was the last surviving resident of the town that was closed down and flooded to create the Loch Raven Reservoir. In 1921, the residents of Warren and the adjacent town of Bosley were told to leave, and their history ran the risk of being literally washed out, until Anne told their story in a book of poems. It's called Persistence, Poems of Warren, Maryland, and we talked about it in June. Tell folks the story. It starts in 1908 when the citizens of Baltimore approved a multimillion dollar loan to make the water system better.
Yes.
Then what happened?
And that actually sort of reached back a few years to 1904 and, of course, the Great Fire, which absolutely overtaxed the infrastructure of Baltimore. So the city knew it needed to upgrade the water supply, started looking around and said, oh, hey, Gunpowder River looks like a good source. There's only one problem. There's this very vibrant mill town, Warren, in our way. And what happened was the owner of Warren Manufacturing, Summerfield Baldwin, made a secret deal with the water board to sell the town of Warren, whether or not it was ultimately needed, for $725,000, which I tried to do the calculation using the Bureau of Labor Statistics. It doesn't quite go back to 1908, but it was something around $17 million in today's terms. So when the voters approved this $5 million water bill, they were somewhat shocked and dismayed, as you might imagine, to find out shortly thereafter that like 1/7 or 1/8 of the money had already been promised in this secret deal. And what happened then was, you know, great outcry and controversy. There were hearings and there were suits and countersuits and, you know, all kinds of controversy that surrounded that sale that prevented the town from actually being taken until 14 years later. And in the meantime, the town thrived, and people were born, and people died, and they continued to make the cotton that, you know, they'd been known for since 1814. And
So Mr. Baldwin owned Warren Manufacturing. It was a cotton manufacturer. Is that what they made?
They originally made silk and cotton, and in the 1820s, actually, were the only plant in the United States that could take cotton from the cotton boll to the cotton bolt of calico. Also had silk, and then eventually gave way, and by the time it closed, it was making cotton duck, which is what's used for like sails and awnings and tote bags.
So Mr. Baldwin owns the company. Mm-hmm. Does he own the town? Is it his to sell?
It is his to sell. There were some privately owned properties, but for all intents and purposes, it was a company town, so he had the right to do that, and all of the folks who lived there basically at his pleasure were then, you know, forced to find other places to go and jobs.
But the long and short of it for the people who lived there was, all of a sudden, 1921, on date certain, the town is going to cease to exist. You've got to get out. And they literally opened the floodgates.
Right. It was actually, the last day of production was February 15th, 1922. But certainly by 1921, they were building this 240-foot dam. And everyone knew that the end was coming. So, you know, you had people celebrating their last Christmases. A lot of people were just moving on because it was, as you said, a foregone conclusion. It was time to go.
So it's kind of like the lost city of Atlantis almost. It's covered with water, this town of Warren, and then also Bosley, the next town. Is it, to this day, I mean, are there parts of the town, anything visible?
There's nothing visible above water. To the best of everyone's knowledge, about 40 feet of silt cover whatever stone foundations are left. And I found an article, I think it was around 1978, a couple of enterprising scuba divers decided they were going to suit up and go down and see what they could find. And I think they made it about 6 feet down before they, you know, got mired in the muck. But there are foundations of buildings up in the hills, and certainly some of the older houses that were now what people consider Warren, like on Warren Road, which then leads to the bridge. There are some of the houses that were there, you know, contemporaneous to the town that's gone.
And the bridge we're talking about is which bridge for folks who live up in that area?
It's the one that goes across Warren Road and mm-hmm. then becomes Merriman's Mill.
Mm-hmm. So your grandmother was one of the people who lived in this town at the time that it was flooded over.
She was.
Did she talk to you about this? Is this a story you grew up with as a kid?
Well, I had these sort of strange, my family used to like to fish, and we would spend many Sunday afternoons on the banks of the Loch Raven Reservoir, and I have these strange memories of my parents sort of saying, don't forget to look for the flagpole, and I kind of thought, well, that's a strange thing to tell a child. Why would you be looking for a flagpole in the middle of the reservoir? And so I didn't really process that, and it really did not come together until my grandmother had to move out of her house when she was 99, and my brothers and I were going through her belongings, and I scooped up lots of stuff, and then a couple months later found her school book when I opened it up. I mean, it was something I almost threw away. It's that, you know, nondescript.
It's a little notebook.
It's a little notebook, and I opened it up, and it said, you know, Marion Brown, Domestic Science, Warren School, Maryland. And I thought, well, Warren School, I know there's an elementary school, but it was built in the 80s or something. And what is Warren School, and what is Warren? And it all came tumbling down from there. And happily, I found John McGrain, who's the former county historian, and he just really generously shared all of the research he had done. And that just set me on my quest. And unfortunately, my grandmother did not remember most of the story by the time that, you know, I was starting to learn it. So I've had to sort of piece it together other ways. But because of all the controversy, there's a rich archival record. There were a number of photographs that the Baltimore Sun, you know, they sent when this deal came to light. They sent reporters and, you know, there was all kinds of coverage. There are lengthy court documents and, you know, all kinds of things. A few oral histories. I've tried to meet other people, or I tried at the time to meet anyone else who might have been alive in the town. I've met some other people who have relatives, but I've never met another person who was alive in Warren. So,
Ann Kolakowski, her new book is called Persistence, Poems of Warren, Maryland. On 88.1, it's Maryland Morning, and I'm Tom Hall. Let me ask you to introduce us to your grandmother by reading the part of the first poem in the book. It's called Witness.
Yes. It begins with an epigraph. Florence Marion Eichler, who was thought to be the last known surviving resident of Warren, a now-vanished Baltimore County mill town, died in her sleep Monday. She was 103. And that's from the Baltimore Sun, July 29, 2006. It's Labor Day, but even at the age of 99, she will not rest. Tomato plants need water. Only 3 steps off the porch. A sparrow in a shallow bird bath, she'd meant to fill that too, witnesses the crack of bones as Grandmom tries to brace herself against the fall. The bird attempts to match her cries for help, but no one hears for hours. Window shades, like drowsy eyelids, lower as my grandmother moves against her will to catered living. She packs her worn-out deck of cards for endless hands of solitaire. I join my brothers on a Saturday to claim what she has left behind. My bin soon fills with food-stained recipes, photos snapped at the 39 World's Fair, my father posing by the Paris Fair in Trilon, sewing patterns and 6 pairs of scissors, one for each decade spent as a Red Cross volunteer, a Methodist church picnic shopping list, 30 heads of cabbage, 16 melons, 7 jars of Miracle Whip, a slender composition book, brownish gray and unremarkable. Months pass before I open it to read her fading schoolgirl script. Marion Brown, Domestic Science, Warren School, Maryland. I've never heard of Warren. A local road and school, but not a town, can claim that name. I try to press my grandmother for details. She shakes her head and smiles. No, it's too late. Her memories are silted over Warren's stone foundations. So I am left to weave the story on my own. The mill, the town, the secret deal, the dam, the flagpole, the flood, the reservoir. Her childhood home. Erased.
Ann Kolakowski reading from her new collection of poems, Persistence, Poems of Warren, Maryland. It's a great poetic read, but it's also a history lesson. I mean, you do get the whole story through the epigraphs before the poems, the little clips from the newspapers and whatnot. You have an understanding for how this story developed, and the poetic insight is for the people, the personalities and the human beings directly affected.
And I thank you for noticing that. It certainly was intentional. But for me, the story has always been about the emotional heart and the emotional loss. I mean, the buildings, yes, they were from the photographs. They look very charming. And I keep thinking that would be a great town to live in today. It would be a nice little arts colony, but that won't be. But for me, it's always been about telling the stories of the people who live there. And certainly I drew inspiration in my own craft from Edgar Lee Masters and the Spoon River Anthology, which I certainly won't say my book is anywhere near like that masterpiece, but it gave me the confidence to give voice and to inhabit lives that to take poetic license, I believe that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tell us about the title poem, Persistence. Why? What is persistence? How does that pertain to this subject?
Persistence. To me, it starts with water and the persistence of water and how water will weave its own way and carve its path no matter what. So certainly that happened. You know, the flood has managed to create what we all, you know, I drink from the Lochraven Reservoir too, so, you know, I can't say that I didn't benefit from it, but it's a persistence of story, and also in this case, a persistence of myth, because there are a lot of just crazy stories that still exist, and one of them that I refer to in the poem is my grandfather used to tease my grandmother. They were married, I think it was 60 years. And he used to claim that he rescued her off the flagpole. And the reference to the flagpole is that when they destroyed the town, they left the flagpole that stood outside the schoolhouse. And it was wooden, and it poked up out of the water for about 25 years and then finally rotted and drifted away. So, yeah.
So let's have you read it. Persistence.
Persistence. Marion Brown Eichler. It happened a little at a time. The story took on contours as water erased the town. One day, all that was left was what we christened truth. The water was ankle deep when diehards left Warren. Dynamite rubble rained on the schoolhouse with students inside. The spring had magic powers. For 60 years, John teased that he found me in Lochraven, clinging to the wooden pole. After 60 years, I believed it. The way an old-time hymn must be true when you sing it with your whole heart.
Ann Kolakowski, her book of poetry about the lost town of Warren is called Persistence, Poems of Warren, Maryland. We spoke last June. We've got more about the book on our website. Come to wipr.org/Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. Ahead on Maryland Morning, the story behind Kwanzaa. Stay with us on 88.1.